This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Okay, take a deep breath.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's still no empirical reason to get too worked up about inflation yet. This morning, the government said there was a decent increase in retail prices last month. But again, as much as I hate repeating this, it's still all about food and gasoline. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Prices for crude oil hit record levels in May. Food costs could compete in the Olympic high jump. So it's no surprise the consumer prices rose 0.6% last month.
Does this mean that the inflationary genie is out of the bottle? I don't think so.
That's Richard DeKayser, chief economist at National City Corporation. He says it's the core inflation numbers that make him so calm. Core excludes food and energy, and it rose just 0.2% last month. DeKayser says core numbers and labor costs are a better measure of true inflation.
So while we have unambiguously suffered an intense price shock for commodities and especially energy, labor costs remain remarkably benign. Over the past year, up less than 1%.
The threat of inflation remains, but at least some economists, like DeKayser, think that threat is overstated. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Saudi Arabia wants oil producers and consumers to figure out what the heck is going on with the price of oil. So the Saudis will host an oil summit next weekend. The country's oil minister says the current price is unjustifiable and unreasonable. Oil is at $135 a barrel this morning. Some minor gains on Wall Street so far. The Dow is up 33 points, about 0.3%, to 12,177. The NASDAQ has put on 17, and the S&P 500 is up a couple points. In Asia, stocks finished mostly lower, although the Nikkei did see fractional gains. European shares are down 0.5% so far. I actually feel bad complaining about prices when I hear about the people in Zimbabwe. Their president, Robert Mugabe, is a tyrant, to be polite about it. Last week, he forbid nonprofit groups from giving out food and aid to people. And now it seems whatever aid is getting through is being diverted only to Mugabe supporters. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Kenneth Walker is based in Johannesburg, South Africa, for CARE International.
We can't deliver food. We can't do any of the other activities that we were involved in.
Outside organizations are central to feeding and caring for Zimbabweans. With 80% unemployment and 165,000% inflation, 4 million people now rely on food aid, and the U.S. already has nearly $100 million of food earmarked for Zimbabwe this year. Edward Brown, with a consortium of aid organizations called CSAFE, is in Zimbabwe. He says food has become a political football.
The government makes it political, but it's not meant to be.
The Mugabe government says NGOs are bribing people with food in order to win votes for the opposition. Aid workers say that's paranoia. And despite the hijacking of a food truck this week by Mugabe supporters, NGOs say their assistance will continue no matter who wins the runoff election on June 27th. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
So maybe you've heard by now, U.S. Airways is going to start charging for soda. $2 a can. Beer, wine, and liquor is going up to $7 a piece. The Flight Attendants Union is not happy about this. They're on the front lines and have to deal with the frustrated passengers. But here is one small ray of sunshine about flying. Orbitz is planning to offer a new perk. If you book a ticket on Orbitz and the fare drops before you get on the plane, the website will refund you the difference, as long as it's between $5 and $250. Expedia says it wants to see how this goes, and it might try it as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org.
The U.S. Open Golf Tournament is underway in Southern California. The course looks stunning, But you might be surprised to learn it is not a private country club. It's a public course, and it's cheap to play. Time to visit with our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, why is pro golf doing this?
Well, you know, the Masters is very elite, and it's great to look at Augusta National in April. But we know that neither you nor I, even with our public radio status, could even walk that course. So, you know, they want to have it at a public, a municipal-owned course, as a matter of fact, Torrey Pines, where, you know, so many visitors come, so many people live down there. And when this gets over, you're going to walk and play those exact same greens that Phil Mickelson putted on. It's pretty exciting.
And how much will it cost to play around?
Well, right now it costs $42 on a weekday.
That's
$42. The 2002 Open that was played at Bethpage Black out in Farmingdale, which is Long Island, New York, that costs $31 on a weekday to play out there. Anybody walks down, you plunk down $31 at the pro shop, you're on that course. And they call that the People's U.S. Open.
But at these courses, are they raising the rates after all the attention of the U.S. Open?
Well, not immediately. As a matter of fact, the USGA made a deal with Torrey Pines that at least for one calendar year, they must keep it their greens fees exactly the way they are now so that somebody watches this weekend and they say, hey, I was thinking of taking our family vacation in September, and I'd love to play around, you know, where I saw Tiger walk that same 18th fairway. Of course, the course is a little different. You know, they make that rough a little, you know, longer and tougher. They make the greens a little bit slicker so that they make it as tough as they possibly can for this weekend, but you're still standing in that same, you know, not so rarefied air that the pros did.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So the USGA, does it have a game plan for continuing this?
Yeah, Scott, like 5 out of the next 8 U.S. Opens are going to be in public courses starting this year. In 2015, there's a terrific course just out of Seattle called Chambers Bay. Again, public course. Everybody gets out there and knocks around, you know, horrible shots off the tee. And they're already looking forward to say, these guys are coming to our little public course. Fantastic.
All right. Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.